Thank you for joining us on the I Love South Orange County podcast. I am Josh Viskay, a business owner. Been back here in Southern California 12 years, here in Lake Forest, California 9 years. And the purpose of the podcast is, since we live in such a polarized society, we want to peel the layers off issues in a pragmatic way, looking at both sides of an issue, just not one side of an issue. And for the most part, we're going to bring people on the show, on the podcast, who are college educated. If they're not, they're successful and well-read and can kind of peel the layers off of issues, cultural, business, and political issues. Today we have Andy O'Connor, who's an activist that I've been listening to his public comments pretty much 8-9 years. And what I love about Andy is that for whatever reason, the folks on the Lake Forest City Council and city government think they're kings and queens.
Oligarchs.
Yeah, we call them oligarchs because they're at the bidding of these real estate magnates that we've talked about before on this podcast. And Andy does a great job of, in an academic, business, pragmatic fashion, able to expose these people for, I hate to say it, but the idiots that they are. How are you doing, Andy?
Good, Josh. Good to see you this morning. I appreciate your involvement in the community. Both of us, all we're trying to do is shed light on what should be happening in our community. And, you know, it's black and white. We provide the facts. The four oligarchs, Robinson, Tanamere, Voits, and Nikki, get exposed. And, you know, when Nikki gets exposed, she used her snotty responses, and she called you and I criminals.
Right.
Criminals in front of the deputy. The Orange County deputy was in the audience because she can't control her temper.
Right.
And she got called out because I said that she's in violation of Section 52 of the Federal Election Code, that she took money from non-U.S. citizens. It's already been documented under 460 that she's taken campaign contributions from Chinese nationals. They're not U.S. citizens. I mean, as silly as it was, she, you know, exposed that. And all you have to do is, you know, go through the process, which we have. And she's in violation of that. And once you hit Nikki, she just goes like a volcano, and she calls you and I criminal for just saying these are basic facts, and she calls us criminals.
Yeah, in the episode notes, I'll put links to the video of her doing that, which is a civil rights violation here in California, and there'll be more to come on that. Now, on our podcast, we like to go macro to micro.
Excuse me, Josh.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing the links, but... ladies and gentlemen, when that happened, I was at the dais 2 more times. And each time I addressed the mayor and the council, I asked for mayor pro tem, not just councilman, mayor pro tem, Nikki, to apologize to me and say, you know, I apologize, Mr. O'Connor, for calling criminals. I gave her that chance 2 times from the dais with the Orange County deputy, Don Barnes, in the audience. And both times she refused.
Yeah, and just to introduce Andy to the audience, Andy's a tenured school teacher. How long did you teach school, Andy?
Well, Josh, I've been in the Saddleback Valley for 33 years. I've been in the city of Lake Forest for over 28 years. I'm a credentialed California teacher. I've had my credential for 15 years. It's on the website, ctc.ca.gov. Look me up, Andrew O'Connor. You'll see I have 2 credentials, a multi-subject, which I can teach K through 8, and also have a mild moderate education specialist, professional clear level 2. So I teach students with learning disabilities, and I have 12 years experience in that.
All right. So later on in the show, we'll break down the how the corruption works in Lake Forest. And this is a great lesson to people, even all throughout the country, how local corruption works and the long-term effects of corruption, which usually ends up in a city becoming bankrupt, high crime, right? And then the citizens pay higher prices for government service.
Josh, you couldn't have said it any better. This is really what's affecting Lake Forest. Our operating budget for police services is 47% of our operating budget. And we just gave the sheriff's department another $500,000 increase that our city manager and mayor rubber stamped, didn't negotiate the price down. Yet we have a virus in our city. We have homeless encampment, and that whole section now is being inundated with illegal pot shops that the deputies won't even do anything about it. So the virus, and that's what I call it, it's a virus. And we all know what happens when a virus gets in your body. It spreads and it makes you sick. And that's what's happening right here in Lake Forest, California.
Right. So from a macro perspective, this week that was the Democrats had their debate, right? And part of the podcast is that Andy and I, we do a lot of research. We do a lot of reading. So you don't have to. So we can break it down. But at the same time, once you listen to our research, we do not want you to take any of this as gospel, okay? We want you to go ahead and do your own research, because that's what we needed in this country. Sometimes people are too far to the right, right, which is fascism, like Ronald Reagan said, or too far to the left, trying to give free health care and free college to people who just got here from Guatemala. Most of us are in the middle, right? And it's important for you to do your own research. So let's go down the top 10 candidates, and we'll give you a quick recap of our research. I guess the front runner now is
Elizabeth
Pocahontas.
Warren. Yeah, Elizabeth Warren has gone to the top.
So Elizabeth Warren was a college professor who got fame working in the banking industry with reform. And what she's famous for now is all these plans. But when you look at all her plans, they're all pie in the sky plans that have absolutely no chance of passing Congress, especially as polarized as we are. So her campaign right now is basically a joke. Her biggest liability is the Pocahontas label, where she wants everything for free, and she attempted to get herself labeled as an American Indian so she could get free college.
Well, Josh, and let's, you know, the latest one, yeah, the Pocahontas has been out there, but about the latest one when she said she wasn't allowed to come back to teach because she was pregnant. That's been debunked because she didn't have the right credential. Okay, if you don't have the right credential, you can't teach. It's black and white. But that's the reason she didn't come back as a teacher, and she even said so back in the 70s. So Elizabeth Warren, you know, I can't understand why she goes off on these tangents and says things, because, you know, in this day and age, you can research anything, and she gets debunked, and it looks more silly. And, you know, she was even asked by the other candidate, how are you going to pay for this? We all know taxes are going to go up, but Elizabeth Warren won't address that, because once she says, just like Bush says, read my lips, no more new taxes, he was done as a candidate. So sooner or later, Senator Warren has to face the music and say, taxes. And if you notice, she may be at the top, but if you notice, really what tells what's going on is the bump in contributions.
Right.
And the bump in contributions went to the mayor from Indiana.
Right, Buttigieg, Mayor Pete,
And Gabbard, I believe. Those two. And you know, if you want to know the pulse of what's happening in the Democratic Party, you look where people are contributing. And that's, they got the spike, and guess what? Biden got nothing. Actually, he's going less. So I think we all know Biden's off the back, and Warren, I don't think, is going to go forward. So overall, you know, Trump's going to win. You know, we have a democratic process that's good. These debates, what it's doing is peeling the skin back on the onion. You know, we started with 30, we're down to this many, it'll continue to go down. So it's a good process. It shows, you know, how, you know, and then it goes up to Pelosi, what she's thinking. You know, believe it or not, I grew up in upstate New York from a democratic family. I was a Democrat. But quite frankly, I cannot identify, you know, with the Democratic Party of John Kennedy. I was a youth, the Kennedys, I'm Irish Catholic, all that stuff. I can't identify with the Democratic Party anymore. I'm sorry.
Well, the closest one right now is Joe Biden, vice president. He's been trying to ride that Obama, on the back of Obama. But the problem with that is that you have to, you know, have your own identity. And I was surprised to hear.
Excuse me, Josh. Let's just talk what Obama did last week. Do you know, Josh, he just endorsed Trudeau to be reelected. And isn't that funny? Trudeau is just coming off the blackface scandal.
Right.
Okay? And here's Obama. We know his background, things talks about. And he says, go for it, Trudeau. You know, blackface and all that. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting how Obama comes across like that? And
well, Obama's never really been, they always call them, you know, like a white guy, black guy. He's never been like a hardcore brother, if you will.
Well, exactly. And the other thing is, you know, the African-American community want to call him, he's not 100% black, Josh. His mother's white. And that black father, he disowned him.
Right,
he left
right.
him. You know, Barack Obama is not in the press, is not showing that his white mother and his white grandmother raised him.
Right.
Okay? So I think we have an intelligent audience. Connect the dots.
Well, a problem that we could just label, because we'll go real quick through the top 10. Demographics show, right? 18% of black women voted for Trump. So the black community is a lot more conservative than it's made out to be. And just the racial angle has gotten the big numbers for the Democrats. But there's a lot more going on, especially in a close election. So Biden has had that corruption scandal with his kid.
And as more as he talks about it and his son talks about it,
the worse it gets.
My goodness. He's just, and you know, Biden can only talk when there's a teleprompter. Okay? Biden cannot, he's not nimble on his feet. Okay? He stammers and stutters and all this sort of stuff. He can only do good in the teleprompter. And every time he has like something on the news, the cameras will never go back and show you there's only 10 people in the audience.
Right.
It's
right.
funny.
Right. So his campaign's on the rocks. It's a big blow to him that he's not the front runner.
Yeah, his ego's damaged. He figured he was a shoo-in. And, you know, the Democratic Party is, you know, distancing themselves from him. I mean, they're so desperate, Josh. None of these 10. You know what? Who's in the weeds? Hillary Clinton. Look at Hillary starting to get her, you know, starting to do all this stuff. So
right. She's not, we don't see her in the news for no reason. She's planning something.
Yeah. She sees the weakness of these 10, and she's going to be the savior of the Democratic Party. And, you know, just like Trump says, bring her on. You know, we'll beat her again.
Right. Her angle is still going to be the whole espionage, the Russian angle. So let's talk crazy Bernie Sanders. So what I like about Bernie is that at least he's honest. He's come out and said that he is 100% communist. Now, the problem I have with Bernie is the book he uses, The 1%. And I encourage everybody to read that book. It's an economics book, but it's written for lay people. You don't have to be an economist or even a college graduate to read that book. It comprehensively talks about the economies. And it makes a good point about the wealth that the 1% has and about taxing the four banks in Europe that nobody knows who has accounts there. And for the last 200 years, those banks have had deposits and nobody knows about them. So he says the top 1% should be taxed 1% in those banks and earmark those for education. Now, what Bernie Sanders misses is that Bernie Sanders wants to tax the 1%, 97%. And what it says in that book is that if you tax wealthy people 97%, they're just going to leave. They're going to go to right. Europe right. where they're taxed, whatever, 40%.
Right. And Josh, isn't it ironic? This is really ironic, folks. Who endorsed Bernie Sanders recently? AOC. Oh my goodness, folks. Let's move the clock back. Wasn't she railing against old white men? Go back and do your research. She was against old white men and her posse. And now who's she snuggling up against? Bernie Sanders. And let's move the clock back again, Josh, to 2016, when the DNC robbed Bernie Sanders of the candidacy because
right.
Hillary Clinton wanted it.
Right.
So, you know, Bernie Sanders, he is what he is, and I agree with Josh. You know, he speaks his mind and tells what's out there. He's not hiding the fact. But look what, he should have been the one running against Trump. And we talk about all this stuff, but look what the DNC, even Donna Brazile even admitted the DNC changed it so that Hillary Clinton could get it, and they robbed Bernie Sanders of it.
Right. And one of the themes of the podcast today I want folks to clue in on is that something that's hit me really the last 2 years, and something that came into my mind at the Lake Forest City Council meetings, where the city attorney, a guy by the name of Mal Richardson, who works for BBNC, same law firm that advised corrupt city of Bell, researched the city of Bell and the corruption. He said that this is not a pure democracy, it's a representative democracy, okay? So the whole Bernie Sanders situation was a fiasco with the whole super delegates, right? It's a slap in the face to democracy at a time where people are dying in Hong Kong for democracy. The Kurds are getting killed over their identity. And the most successful democracy, if you don't pay attention and if you don't nurture democracy, you might find yourself in a situation like Hong Kong, because there's pockets of authority, you know, being authoritarian and being dictatorial in certain processes with the Republican Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party is the whole thing with superdelegates, yeah, where some person put in by a corporation or by a rich billionaire gets 10 votes and the average guy gets one.
Well, another ironic thing that the news is whipping up this week is President Trump's decision to move out of Syria, in which I wholeheartedly agree. In Fox News last night, they didn't even give a narration. They just showed this fighting. And, of course, everyone's like, oh, that's got to be the Middle East. That's got to be Syria. You know what it was? It was Mexico. Mexico is 2,000 miles away from our border, and we're doing nothing about it. But everyone's got their panties in a wedge because we're pulling out of Syria. And I like what Trump says. You know what? You guys got a lot of sand over there. Go over there and play with it. Play with yourselves. You know, we're getting the hell out of here. This shit's been going on for centuries over there. The only reason we're over there is a war machine. And I know Trump feels deep in his heart when he has to write those letters to parents and siblings and family. Sorry, your son died in a worthless fight. And the tens of thousands of them that are injured. He's had enough of it. And I'm glad too, because he's right. It's an endless war. We should never gone into Afghanistan. The Russians got beat. The English got beat. Who the hell do you think we were to go in and get it? Get the hell out of the Middle East and let those people fight themselves. It's been going on for centuries.
Exactly, exactly. Our fifth person we're going to talk about is Beto. And the first thing that comes to mind with Beto is he really does seem like a phony. Personally, he's a millionaire. He's always cursing and crying. He's from El Paso, Texas. His claim to fame was losing, actually, to Ted Cruz in a close race. And he's running a losing battle. I think he even blew his shot to be vice president because it's a losing issue to try to take people's guns away with the Second Amendment.
Right.
And you're not going to win Florida with that.
And, you know, Beto's marketing strategy was, hey, Trump's coming in. He's having a rally. I'm going to have my own rally. Well, how'd that work out for you? If you watched Trump's rally on Fox, oh my goodness, the amount of people inside and outside, and they didn't want to embarrass Beto on the other side of town to show how few people came. So, you know, you got to scratch your head about people donating to a campaign that is going nowheres, okay? It's just crazy. I can't see why people, the guy's, he's got to change his name because he's got something like his Irish heritage. Oh my goodness.
Right. Phony is the first thing that comes to mind when it gets to Beto. One candidate that I actually like, I think she's doing a good job, but she's not doing well in the polls, is Amy Klobuchar. She's a former veteran. She tries to reach across the aisle to get things passed, and she's more of a moderate. But following her, she's from Minnesota. She won by a landslide. Minnesota tends to be, you know, middle of the road. Very libertarian in Minnesota. There's nothing memorable about her.
No, and she comes from, Minnesota. We've got our congressman, Ilhan Omar, whatever the hell her name is from there.
Right.
And
the squad.
Yeah, so it's a tale of two stories there in that state. You got this person and, you know, she won't recognize AOC. She won't recognize Ilhan with her illegal birthing and with all her marrying her brother and all that sort of stuff. It gets swept under the carpet by the media.
Right. So that's why you have to do your own research. Cory Booker. Cory Booker is an ex-football player at Stanford. He won in an upset victory. And something, too, that a noted Democrat said about Cory Booker and AOC, that they have to be reminded, and I guess they were reminded of this in closed door, that there's a lot of Democrats and Republicans who won miracle elections that they weren't supposed to win, and they won. So they're arrogant because of that. He won in New Jersey going door to door. But he's another phony who claims poverty on one level,
right,
but all his donors are multi-billionaires.
Right, and he's his campaign almost had to close the door last week until he got $1.7 million infusion. And there again, like, you know, it's their money. They can do whatever they want with it. But why would you, you know, donate to a guy who's on thin ice? You know, his nickname is Spartacus. And, you know, he's talking black, black, black. If that guy has some men in more white oriented places, going to Stanford, and his parents worked for IBM and all this.
Right.
It's just, you know, I couldn't say the stuff this guy's saying under those circumstances. So
yeah, he's not from the hood, right?
No. Although, you know, he's trying to put up the good thing by living in Newark and this and that and all that good stuff.
But he was a disaster as mayor of Newark. Crime
right,
went up.
Right.
And he actually went tough on crime and, you know, did a lot of civil rights violations that he had to fix.
Yeah, so his old goal was to get to the presidency, and here he is on the stage, and it's not working out. He can do what he wants. Donors can donate what he wants, but you know what?
Yeah, I didn't like
donate
the pot shots.
Donate your money to the American Red Cross or Salvation Army. Just don't give it to these guys.
Right, and then you have another rich center liberal guy, successful entrepreneur Andrew Yang, who, well, if I saw him in person, I would say, Andrew, communism has never worked.
Right.
He wants to give everybody $1,000.
Right. Yep. That ain't gonna work.
That's Andrew Yang. He has cool videos. He works out a lot, but communism has never worked. And then we'll close with two women, right? You got Tulsi Gabbard, and you got what I call the robot, no personality, Kamala Harris. And I knew what was going to happen with Kamala. So we'll go Tulsi and then Kamala.
Well, I think with Kamala, you can see how she's destroyed the state of California, folks. She's attorney general. You know, she wrote Proposition 47 that allows criminals out of jail. And this is the problem we have.
Yeah, in California, you can steal up to $900 and the cops won't arrest you. So you can get a 55-inch at Target. They're having a problem at Best Buy because you can get a 55-inch Samsung 4K TV for $500, and homeless people are going in there and running out the door with them.
Right. Well, and this is happening in a city of Lake Forest at the Arbors. Okay, these people have set up their encampment, and they can go into Ralph's or Sprouts, get their food, and walk out. And the management, you know, my friend's child works there, and they said, don't talk to them, don't do anything, because we don't want to fight, and if they fight and you get hurt, we're sued. Just let them walk out the door. So they're walking out the door daily with their food. Then on the other corner is the Home Depot. They're going in there and stealing tools and selling them, you know, to people in the parking lots that have been videotaped, you know, hammers and drills and saws, and same thing. Home Depot doesn't stop it. So people say, how do they survive and how they're getting the money from drugs? Well, they're going to Rouse and Sprouts to get their food. They go to Home Depot, steal the tools and sell them. That's how they get their drug money, folks. And our politicians is up. Ninth Circuit says, you know, the boys are ruling. We can't do anything, you know. But if I go down the street this afternoon and get a speeding ticket, I'm going to get a ticket. So why don't we ticket these homeless people and do it? Our Orange County Sheriff's Department, which already says is 47% of our budget, they won't do anything. They won't even pull out their pad and write this guy up. They're like, oh, I'm not going to do it. And that's where the virus is spreading. It's spreading from the Arbor to a mile away to a dysfunctional shopping plaza that has gone rampant. So the virus in that part of our community is spreading. And even our new council member who used to live in that part of the city, he got the hell out of there and he moved 4 miles east on the other side of town where all the white and safe people are.
Right. And we'll detail the Lake Forest City Council because they're a very good lesson and a very entertaining lesson, to tell you the truth, for all folks in the country.
And back to Gabbard, this is kind of interesting. I like her views and what she's talking about. And we talked about Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Wow, listen, Hillary Clinton. Now she's saying Gabbard is a Russian spy.
Right.
Where the heck is this coming from? Hillary Clinton? What do you think? Gabbard out in Hawaii and all this? It's more entertaining.
It's because Gabbard met with the president of Syria.
Right.
And Syria gets their arms and their funding. Putin's very good friends with that government, and Russia and Putin himself personally has made a lot of money from the kingdom of Syria.
Right.
And he's kept them, he's popped them up.
Right. So this is kind of interesting. This week is a whole thing with Hillary coming up and attacking Gabbard, and then everyone's mad at Trump for pulling out of Syria. And what they say, there's been 30, now these are recorded.
Right.
33,000 murders in Mexico are recorded. We don't know how many
have been recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's right there at our border. And what's Pelosi and Schumer say in January? Oh, it's a manufactured crisis at the border.
Huh. No, I talked to a lot of Mexicans here in Southern California, and they all talked about, you know, you go to Jalisco, all these places, you got to watch out because you might be beheaded.
Yeah. Right?
This is how it is, and a lot of these murders aren't counted. Just to finish up with Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris is funded by the Getty Foundation, same people that fund Gavin Newsom, and they have a dynasty here in California because they have billions upon billions of dollars combined with the unions to influence elections.
And Kamala Harris, all us Californians know how she got her foothold into politics is Willie Brown.
Sleeping with Willie Brown.
Literally, and even Willie Brown admits it, he was 60 years old, and what was she, what, 20, 30 years old?
Yeah, she was like 28.
And she wasn't married.
No,
but
she's never been married. She was only married in her late 50s,
right,
to L.A. entertainment lawyer.
So she,
or early 50s.
The governor at that time, he admitted, yeah, I was sleeping with her. We were doing great sex. And yeah, I opened up a lot of doors for her.
Right.
So you people are out of California, she's a naughty, naughty person. And you know what?
And her answer is, you know, there's nothing illegal. And that's something, too, with the theme with Lake Forest.
Yeah.
They talk about, hey, you know what, it might be highly unethical, but it's not illegal. And she said, hey, you know, it might not be with the Me Too movement, the career path choice, but it wasn't illegal what I did, and I had a lot of fun.
Even her support in California is weak, and, you know, this is another candidate. Why are you giving her donations for? Really, she's going nowhere as fast. I guess she's just positioning herself to be nominated as a vice president because she's female and get the black vote and
or the cabinet.
Like that. That's true.
That's always a stupid. Yeah. I thought Kerry lost the election to Bush because he didn't pick Bob Graham from Florida.
Right.
You always got to pick somebody in the South,
right,
that's going to give you a state that you normally would not win. California, right, is in the bag.
You know, it's funny too, Josh. All these ones are talking about the Green New Deal and all this. You know what? They're taking private jets every city they go.
Right.
You know what? We've got a great domestic airline service that can get you anywhere, anytime, at good prices. And they say Green New Deal and cut this. And what are they doing? They're flying around in private jets. They're getting picked up by big SUVs. It's, you know, is AOC going back and forth from New York to D.C. on Amtrak? Hell no. She's taking a jet every place she goes.
And she has a gas-guzzling car.
Right.
To finish with Kamala Harris, she's always seemed disingenuous to me. She never gives you like a non-robotic answer. And kind of the same thing for Gabby, who's former military person, congresswoman from Hawaii. And like we said, don't take what we're saying as gospel. Do your own research.
Do your own research. Just go back at Kamala Harris and Willie Brown.
Right.
Just put that in and you'll see pictures of them. And you'll say, Willie Brown saying, yeah, I slept with her and I was married.
And that's part of the value of this podcast. In this crazy world, we help you.
It's not a crazy world, Josh. It's an upside-down world we're living in.
Right.
And, you know, this craziness always exists.
Right.
But what we're dealing with now is the world has gone upside down.
Man. So we help you make sense of it and point you to the research that you should be looking at. So let's describe and let's talk about where we live, and it's a national place. We have people from all over the world and all over the country that come here and live because it's so beautiful here.
The climate. We have great climate.
Yeah, we're sitting here in 75-degree weather and a beautiful view. Kids playing in the background. I can have more gratitude than what I have now for living in a nice place. That's why it upsets me so much, the high level of corruption. And I understand that the corruption is so wide and deep that it's hard for most people to understand. So we want to break it down for you so you can understand the corruption and you can do your own research so you can understand for yourself how corruption works and what you can do about it in your local community.
And see if you have the parallels in your own community.
Right.
Okay, we're not just saying this is here, but just reflect on your own community and say, you know what? Gosh darn it, that's happening in my community too. And I've been an activist in this community 15 years. And believe me, I have all the documentation, I've connected all the dots, and you know, I'm fighting a tough battle here.
But he's winning, and he's really doing a great job. I encourage you to go on Facebook and look at the videos. The Facebook page is True Lake Forest Neighborhood Watch and Discussion page. We have a lot of pictures, documents, and videos that you can do your research and see the great job.
Yeah. And see if all these same things are happening in your community.
Yeah, all the cities I lived in, from Tampa to New Orleans to New York City to Boston, I've always followed local politics. And it started when I was at a nightclub with four very, very attractive women, and this over-tan guy started buying us drinks, and we befriended him. He ended up being Charlie Crisp, who's the congressman from Florida that was in the news early in the year because he questioned William Barr. But he ended up being governor of Florida, and he ran for Senate, and he finished second to Sarah Palin to be vice president. So in my conversations with Charlie, he told me once, there's three types of local politicians. And this is 28 years ago. There's three types of local politicians. There's dumb local politicians.
Whites.
There's corrupt local politicians.
Robinson.
And then there's all three. Then number three is there's dumb and corrupt politicians.
And they put them together and we have four oligarchs here in the city of Lake Forest, California.
Yeah, and Lake Forest is an affluent community. The average price of a home is like $1 million. Very
beautiful
community.
And that's only because, you know, actually we're a blue collar town. Our demographics is combined gross income of the family is $100,000. But because these four oligarchs have sold out to residential developers, open land is being developed by Toll Brothers, and their starting prices are $1 million, okay? We're a blue-collar town. Our residents can't afford $1 million homes. Why are we building these types of homes? Why don't we bring another builder in that can build, you know, affordable homes, okay? Affordable homes. But no, this corrupt council follows Toll Brothers, and you know, they contribute. They're getting there, and they do it by Toll Brothers gives to the Lincoln Party, and
right?
The Republican Lincoln Party, and then the Republican Lincoln Party takes that money and doles it out to the representatives. So trying to hide the trail. But if you look from where the Lincoln Club gets their money, it comes from Toll Brothers and Shea Brothers.
Right. So this is all documented in what they call 460 forms. That you can go, it's called
700, in the form 700.
Yeah, Cal Access. So basically what they're doing, and it's illegal racketeering. You can look up the State Farm racketeering case where the Toll Brothers gives political contributions to the Lincoln Club, which is a political nonprofit.
And then Lincoln Club of Orange County, which is a Republican party located up in Anaheim, California.
And it's not just Toll Brothers. We call them oligarchs because that's where they are. They're fascist multinational corporations that they really do this scheme all over the country and all over the world. You have Five Points that's owned by a Lebanese national. And he rigs the Irvine City Council. And other names to look at that rig elections here in South Orange County is the South Orange County Economic Coalition and BIA.
The TCA.
Yeah, the TCA. That's another. And for the TCA, you can listen to the last podcast we had. I encourage you to listen to all the podcasts. There's educational information of all different types of corruption and how they work. But on the last one, we talk about South Orange County corruption and the TCA.
Josh just said the name BIA. And the BIA is another phony group. And it's the Building Industry of America, which has its, you know, influence. And they take donations from builders, you know, they could take all the money from the subcontractors, from the plumbers, the electricians, the guy that puts in the driveways, the guy that does the grading and all that. They put money into the BIA. BIA gives the money back to the candidates. And the biggest guy right here in Lake Forest is Scott Voights. He works for BIA. He doesn't work for the citizens of Lake Forest, 80,000 citizens, although he pretends to. You know, Scott's a paraplegic. Everyone gives
him... Yeah. Let's profile each candidate.
Here's
Voights. And again, the problem with this is that corruption causes negative long-term effects that it ends up being the city of Bell, all right? So let me give you a quick sketch of Scott Voights, and we'll go through each of the councilmen, and you give me your take on them, Andy.
Well, Scott, you know...
Let me give you Scott. Scott Voights, his claim to fame was that 20 years ago, he fell off a bridge and
became a scaffold
on a construction project.
And the superintendent told him to get off the scaffold. It wasn't safe. And he ignored the superintendent, and the scaffold fell over because Voights wasn't following directions from the job superintendent, and it fell over, and he paralyzed himself from the waist
down. Right, and this guy, he's not the brightest guy in the planet.
Never graduated, does not have a high school diploma. You know, he went out and did blue collar work and all that. But here's a guy that sits on a council, decides a $45 million budget, which is now going into the red.
Right. He never graduated from high school. And then he ended up, he had a lawsuit that he ended up taking all the way to the California Supreme Court. And he never got any money from it. He got government money. And he's supposed to be a right-wing conservative. But all his money he's ever gotten is from taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
And part of the theme is the abuse of taxpayer money for these people to try to enrich themselves. So Voights kept changing his story in legal depositions and in court. The last one that the judge mentioned was that dynamite dust got in his eyes when illegal aliens were blowing up dynamite below the bridge. And he fell from a scaffolding that you're only supposed to use for one day, and that was his third day on that scaffolding.
And he was told by the superintendent, supervisor not to do it. But here's the thing. This last Tuesday night, we had an election to fill a vacant council space.
Right.
So what's Voights do? He goes on his wheelchair, and all the candidates who were there in the audience, and he's shaking their hands and smiling and wishing good luck, and this is really great that you're doing it. What's he do? He stabs all 11 of them in the back, including myself, and Scott Voights votes for the retired Orange County deputy.
Right.
So, oh, boy.
And the way the corruption works, because... On top of the Lincoln Club, which is a Republican right-wing organization, the South Economic Council and the BIA, you have the Sheriff's Association and the Sheriff's Union. And what's going on in South Orange County is that the pensions, the salaries, the exorbitant costs are literally bankrupting South Orange County cities to the point, look this up, type in Google, councilwoman walks out of city council meeting in San Clemente. The lady walked out because
she didn't want to be hostage to the Orange County Sheriff's Department.
Well, the Sheriff's Association got cheap with San Clemente and only paid off 3 out of 5 so they could win the vote. And then she was one of the people they didn't pay off.
And here in the city of Lake Forest, 2 months ago, we just approved a $500,000 increase to the Orange County Sheriff's Department. We didn't receive one new deputy. We didn't get any more services. But the city manager, by the way, our city manager makes $238,000 a year. The governor of California makes $210,000. Explain to me how a city manager makes more than the governor, okay?
Right.
And then, so they rubber stamp giving $500,000 to the Sheriff's Association, and then those same sheriff union gives money to Voights, Robinson, Tenemere, and Nikki for their... campaigns. You see how this evil circle works?
Right. And the problem with both the sheriffs, and he's talking about Deborah Rose.
She's the
city manager. And I always defended Deborah, but these guys opened my eyes to her because, to be honest, when I own my restaurant and when my business now, the reason I have clients going on 20 years, and in California, I've came here 12 years and I have clients that I've had for 12 years is because I hustle and I go above and beyond to give more value than what I'm paying for. These people are not hustling at all.
And the thing is, Josh, in a city manager, you look at it, it's a big title. But let's drill down to our city manager. Right. Our police department, we contract out to Orange County Sheriff's Department. Our fire department, we contract that out to the Orange County Fire Authority. Our public works department, we farm that out to the Orange County Department of Public Works. So all she does is she gets an invoice every month and she pays it to them. She doesn't have to supervise a police, fire, or public works. She doesn't have to do any of that stuff. And you know what, Josh? Whenever something comes up, the first thing she wants to do, let's go hire a consultant to solve this problem. You right. gotta be kidding me.
And the reason she does that, now the consultant
you're the
thing.
City manager, you're the city manager. We pay you $238,000 to figure this out. And the first thing you do, I'm going to hire a consultant. Well, and that's $100,000 right there. And they come back and say, this is what we need to do. And she signs off on it. Ladies and gentlemen, your job, when your boss says, go figure this out, do you call up someone and say, come on in here and do my job? Well, that's what's happening in the city of Lake Forest with our city manager. A project needs to be done. She gets on the phone. Oh, this consulting company's going to do it for us and figure it out. And we're going to pay them $100,000 to do it. It's ludicrous.
Right, and she makes $300,000, but
well, she makes $238 salary, and you know it's going to get up to close
but with
to
the benefits,
the state pension, the CalPERS we pay,
healthcare.
And all that, and health benefits, and this it's close to $300,000. And she, Josh, all she is really is a facilitator.
But let me give you some insight that actually Dunnick taught me about this, and the whole scandal with assistant coaches in the NCAA. When you are getting money from any entity that gets federal funds, if you're a manager, the limit that you can get for gifts is $4,700. And if you're a CEO type like Deborah Rose, the most you can get is $9,500. I can guarantee you she's not hiring any consultant unless she's getting some sort of kickback that isn't over the legal limit of $9,500. So on top of the $300,000 she's getting, she's easily making $150 off of kickbacks from hiring a consultant. Of course we want to hire a consultant.
Sure.
Because I'm going to get some of that money back.
Sure.
And it's legal money.
Sure.
Now the stupid assistant coaches, not to get off the top in college basketball, these dummies took over the limit. And they took like $10,000.
It's greed.
Right.
So if you take a look at our city manager, we just had a community event here a couple of weeks ago called The Taste of Lake Forest, where all the restaurants would come out and people could sample and things like that. Our city manager wasn't there. Did not, you know, this is a good chance to interact with the community. You know, they had a pop-up tent there. Here's the Lake Forest city staff. And there were people there. I says, where's the city manager? Oh, she's not here today. She lives 25 miles east of here in another community. If I'm paying you $238,000 a year, I sure as hell want you living in my community. I don't want you living 20 miles away, so when you walk out of that office at night, you put everything in your rearview mirror. Well, I'm down in the city. I'm going home. God darn it. I think if you're a city manager, you live in that city.
Right, because she's driving. Because you got to think of Adam Smith, right? The invisible hand, self-interest. She's driving the city off a cliff.
Absolutely.
And she's not going to pay any of the consequences.
Right.
What she's doing is laughing all the way to the bank as a multimillionaire, getting all these kickbacks.
Josh, I said there was 12 candidates, and I was one of them. One was selected. And they said, what were the things you do in the city? I wrote down three things very factually. Number one, fire the city manager. Number two, 20% pay reduction for all city employees. And number three, cut the headcount. I said all those right up front. The 11 other candidates just like talking rainbows and unicorns. We gotta work together and we've all this sort of stuff. I came out with black and white things. This is what we need to do. And I'll be proven right because our new mayor came in. He says, I'm gonna hit the ground running. Yeah, what he's running is running up expenses and deficits.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll profile the remaining three council folks, and then we'll go through the process of the application process, because there was a vacant council seat
because a person left
Leah Basil, and instead of having an election
at large
they,
for the whole community to vote on,
and they make a big deal about the military, but they slapped everybody in the military in the face. They slapped all the protesters in Hong Kong in the face, and what they did was rig the system for someone from the police union
deputy.
in their sheriff's association because they have paid for their campaigns.
Right, it's a payback. We put dollars in your campaign. Now it's tit for tat, ladies and gentlemen. Tit for tat. It's a classic tit for tat.
All right. So we went through Voights. Let's talk about Dwight Robinson, who folks feel that he's the kingmaker. He's been on the council for quite some time now. When I met him personally in 2011, he tried to invite me to his Christian church. He's Pentecostal, like my family. And then he said something very curious to me that I'll never forget because I thought it was very entertaining. Based on the beginning of the conversation, he said, "Hey, it's worth it to commit white collar crime because there's so many crimes being committed. They can't prosecute you for all of them."
Right.
And this guy's the councilman.
Right. And he wears Christianity on his sleeve and this, that, and the other thing. And even on his profile, he says he teaches Sunday school. Let me tell you, folks, he's nothing anything to do with that. And here's the thing.
He's as shady as they come.
He's not even an entrepreneur. He married into the business. Okay. His father-in-law runs a exporting grain business at the Port of Long Beach. The guy's never worked for anybody except his father-in-law. And
all supposed to be right wing, pull yourself up by your bootstrap guys,
right,
who falsely claim, and I believe them in the beginning that they had some prowess as far as business, but then you do your research and you find out that they're all frauds trying to enrich themselves with taxpayer money.
Here's a guy that knows we're in a budget deficit. What's he want to do? He wants to make the school district pay for the crossing guards.
Right.
Okay, the kids are outside the wall of the school campuses. That's the city's responsibility. I don't care how you cut it. But Robinson thinks his great expense cutting is, well, we're going to make the school district pay for crossing guards. That's the mentality of this guy, any kind of business acumen he has.
Yeah,
because he's just been stuck in his father's job for 20 years and has done nothing else. And what a boring job. Loading grain to be shipped out to the Middle East. Boy, they're off the coast of California, mainly to China. And as we all know, what's happening with China cutting our exports to them, his business is in a funk because there's nothing going there.
And he capitulates to Chinese interests here in Lake Forest.
Right.
With all the Chinese development. What's the name? Lennar Homes. Lennar Homes, it's owned by the Chinese.
Right.
And they're building, the schools are overcrowded here. And they pay these guys off to gaslight the public to create extra houses and overcrowding. That's Dwight. He's supposed to be right wing, but he can't run his own business. And there's always rumors and whispers that we won't talk about here because we don't have verified proof. But it's never good. Where there's smoke, there's definitely fire. But he seems to be out of these guys. Supposed to be pretty much the smartest of the group.
Josh, it's eye-opening. Why did he, or actually his company, contribute $5,000 to Nikki's campaign? That's right. Where the smoke is coming from.
Right.
Why would you donate $5,000 from your company's treasury to and the businesses are 60 miles apart? So you're talking about smoke, Josh. We're all wondering what fire was burning there.
Right, and we'll end with Nikki. So before we get to Nikki, we'll talk about the way we'll finish the podcast is we'll talk about Mark Tenemer. We'll describe to you him. Then we'll describe to you the application progress. And then we'll end with Mike James and then our final thoughts. Mark Tenemer. Now, this guy,
career water guy.
Yeah, he seems to be the most
water district for the career.
Most pathetic piece of all of them, because this guy is dumb as a box of rocks.
Didn't he once upon a time run for the Board of Education here in Saddlebrook Valley and got thumped?
His
ego took a check mark on that. He thought, yeah, I'm Mark. And you know, folks, here's another thing. His legal name, when he signs contracts with the city, his legal name is John Tenemer. So, you know, you might think Andy's making a big deal or nothing, but why does he call himself Mark? His official name is John. When he signs contracts for the city, he's John Tenemer. But for some reason or other, from his mayoral thing, he's Mark Tenemer. So,
all right, to paint a picture of Mark is a very waspy, middle class, and this is the type of community. So he fits the profile
look,
movie. Yeah, the look.
Tall guy. Works in the water district for many years. So
14 years.
Thinking, you know, 14 years at a dead end job. You know, and the facility he's responsible for on the edge of town spews ammonia oxide. You know, because it's a recycling of the water. Spews ammonia oxide into the senior citizens across the street in their homes, and they've years and years they keep going after this guy and he keeps ignoring them. So, you know, he's a career government person working for the water district, spewing ammonia and oxide into the air into his fellow citizens.
Yeah, he's the classic empty suit.
Yeah,
he's one of those guys that cannot get off the script.
Right.
His wife comes to all the city council meetings and gives him hand signals of what he should say.
And then
he literally has a script written. The only position he can get is Lake Forest City Council. Remember, Lake Forest has 8,200 residents. 82,000 residents. And the salary to be on the city council is only like $7,000 a year. So the only reason it's worth their time, because he makes 200 grand. The only reason it's worth their time is there's obviously money underneath the table.
Well,
there's absolutely
not only that,
no way they would spend their time.
He took a course at Cal State Fullerton about how to, and he said this too, on how to take your career to the next level. So being on the city council of Lake Forest is just a stepping stone for a higher government
office. Except he's been on the city council for 20 years.
Well, this is his second go around. He was on it before. He took a leave of his absence, and now he's back. And he's brought no more wisdom or intelligence since the last time. When he took over, he says, "I'm going to hit the ground running." But to finish the sentence, running us into deficits, running up extreme expenses. We're opening up a new civic center, and this fool spent $217,000, folks. Not exaggerating, $217,000 for art for this new civic center. And our next door neighbor is Laguna Beach with an artist colony. We could have gotten some really cool art for free, but not this guy. He's going to spend $217,000.
Right. In something to preface as we get into profiling Nikki Montessori, Mark and the rest of the council have not come up with an original idea ever. I mean, the whole 8-9 years that I've been following him, none of these guys have an idea. And then they espouse right-wing conservatism. They're all over the place. They do whatever people pay them for. And if it's eminent domain, which is the most liberal Chinese government thing you could do, they'll do it. They're just chasing the dollars, really like a crack dealer.
Yeah, they really are. And for their ego and to brush up against all these people and things like that, it's pathetic.
We said it at the same time.
It's pathetic. I go to the city council meetings and I make a presentation, I document it, hand it over and things like that. And there's a lot of people in the community that I know, and they know me. They give me thumbs up. They say, "Andy, really appreciate what you're doing. You're the only one that has the courage to do it." And what do they say? "I'm afraid to do it because I don't know what my police department or my city government's going to do against me."
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that something in this day and age? That they're afraid if they voice something to the police department, they might get pulled over for an infraction that they know they can't beat.
Yeah,
and they say, "You know, Andy, we really appreciate it." And they say this time and time again. You have the courage to stand up there and expose the city council and the police department.
And he does a great job of that. Again, I encourage you to look up all those videos on Facebook, True Lake Forest Neighborhood Watch and Discussion page. We have them all on there. And we have to shoot our own videos because the city PR guy will edit our videos, anything that makes the city look bad.
Yeah,
how bad it is.
He edits out my presentations, and then when you ask him, they blame it on the communication system.
Right. Freedom is not free, folks. So
and Josh,
you have to fight for this.
You know, it's funny. Yeah, we just had... Well, I'm not going to say this. I don't want to say this now. It's okay.
Yeah, because things happen.
Right.
And, you know, the whole thing with me, they did an illegal search warrant. But since I have securities licenses, the SEC, FINRA, all of them are all over me. They know exactly what I'm doing 100% of the time.
And
my wife even has Life 60 on me that sometimes if there's a gym across from the bar, she's like, you're not at the gym, you're at the bar.
Yeah, and I'm
so I have nothing to hide.
I'm a credentialed California teacher. They have my fingerprints and things right. like that. Well, what the heck am I going to do that's shady?
Right, you know? Right. I have everything documented. So I won a national award for journalism in high school and went to a college program. And the number one thing that that was taught there, the Poynter Institute of Media Studies, now that's being run by Dan Rather. It used to be run by John Chancellor, who was an anchor also. Number one they teach you there, Andy, is that truth is always stranger than fiction. And let's talk about a little bit. I'll profile Nikki and let me know your thoughts. Nikki Montessori.
Modazzetti.
Is
came
a young
from
woman.
Nowhere. Yeah. Came from nowhere. We don't even know her. She's only lived, supposedly, in the community for 2 years. She uses a mailing address that my friend literally can see it 24 hours a day. Never sees her comes and goes. Sees her parents comes and goes. And she works for the gas company in Los Angeles, 70 miles away. So you're trying to convince us that you commute back and forth in LA traffic every day to downtown Los Angeles. And she's another one working for the utilities companies. For the gas company, for all things, is a project manager, okay?
Yeah.
She graduated from UCI in some ridiculous degree. And all of a sudden, here she is on the political scene as a council member. She gets elected. And I'll never forget the time she was on the council and someone's making a presentation to her. She literally said, because she didn't understand, and this was a third grade standard, understanding graphs and charts, it's right there. She says, can you dumb this down for me? I don't understand what you're doing. This is a person from UCI graduate and could not understand a standard third common core math bars and graph diagram. She literally says, can you dumb this down for me? It's all on tape, folks.
Yeah, it's all on tapes. Her confrontation with us.
And then when you do, as I mentioned earlier, when you do say, hey, what about this councilman? I call her mayor pro tem. What about this? What about that? She gets so defensive, she comes back with snotty comments. And this week she took it to the top and called me and Josh criminals in front of the deputy and the city manager. And yeah. Neither one of us have a criminal record and
right,
nothing
right.
pending against us.
Right.
So where does this come from?
Right. To paint a picture of her, she's a former bikini model. She's 36 year old spinster. She's never had a relationship longer than a year. She's never had a job longer than a couple years. She tried to be an actress. She's actually, if you look her up, she's on her credits for being on a Jay Leno skit. I have to look that up online. She's supposedly a producer. She has a producer credit for one movie. Then she got into real estate. And suddenly, she moved to Lake Forest, and next thing you know, she's on the city council. And when she first started her first meeting, Andy goes up, and he starts talking, and she starts talking about me. I'm sitting in the front row. I'm like, Andy's up there. I'm not up there. So this is all illegal, and we got it on video, and we have to, for the sake of society, take it to the next level, maybe perhaps with a civil rights lawsuit.
And this last council meeting, Tuesday night, I asked her, she was the first question, I said, Mayor Pro Tem, I asked city staff why you weren't at the Taste of Lake Forest function the previous Saturday, and you weren't at the last council meeting on Tuesday. And they said you were on a honeymoon because you got married. And then she denied that she says, I wish I could go on a honeymoon. So the next speaker got up and congratulated her on her marriage. So if she got married, is she changing her name and is she changing her residency? Because her fiance lived in Costa Mesa, 30 miles away.
Yeah, and all the evidence shows that she really does not live in Lake Forest, which she has to by law for being on the city council. She probably lives in, she has a warehouse in Long Beach, in Los Angeles area.
In a condominium.
So she's definitely an LA girl.
Nobody in their right mind. Okay, her commute is 70 miles one way, ladies and gentlemen. My neighbor looks at her townhome. Does not see her coming and going, okay? Does not see her coming and going. Doesn't see her on the weekends. Never sees her, period.
Okay, so she's pretty much Max Shady. I'll talk about one shady aspect, and I'll let Andy talk about the next one. She gets about 40% of her campaign contributions came from the Sheriff's Association, which is very relevant to the end of our story here. Now, tell us, Andy, about two things. Tell us about L.A. Green's contribution to her campaigns and the $1,500 contribution from Lake Forest. What's the name of that
family?
Family
Something LLC.
All right, thank you. This is part two of the I Love South Orange County podcast. And when we left off, Andy, if you can describe the $1,500 donation to the Nikki campaign from Lake Forest Resort.
Family Time Resort LLC. So, you know,
and
Josh.
Collection.
Right. So, Josh, after the election, you can pull the candidates 460, and it so shows the people who contributed their campaign. And one on there was a $1,500 contribution from a Chinese person called Family Time Resorts and LLC. And they own a very sizable home in Baker Ranch, walking distance from Nikki's townhome. And we'll fast forward. I won't give you all the details. But this was purchased, quote, as a timeshare. And folks, we all know how timeshares work. You know, you go out to Hawaii, you go up to the mountains, you stay there for a couple of weeks. So they structured this as a timeshare. Yeah, it's a timeshare, all right. It's a timeshare for the Chinese to come over here and birth their child to get U.S. citizenship and then go back to mainland. That's what it's about. And if you go to Chinese magazines, it's right there. It's advertised. So you got to find a friend, which we have. Just look, they said, look right here. They're promoting, come over to California, birth your child, and return back. Beautiful home. And
you don't have to trust your friend. You can type in, and I encourage everybody listening to the podcast to do this. Type in Lake Forest Family Time Resort and Collection and use Google Translate to Mandarin. And what does it say? Oh, you can bring your kid. He'll be a U.S. citizen. He'll have all the rights that U.S. citizens have. Talks about a college right, Pell Grant.
Right. It's all there. That was a big one for $1,500. And then, you know, Nikki.
Sheriff's Association is important to the
right
ending
too.
Of our story.
And then I think here's another thing. It's kind of silly what she did. I think she thought, well, I'm going to be honest, report everything. She got $100 checks, probably six or seven of them, for all Chinese people. She put their names on them. You go in there, they don't have a U.S. passport. They're
right.
Not American citizens. So she's in violation of Title 52 of the Election Code, accepting campaign donations, even if it was $100. And that's what I said to her Tuesday night, and she called me a criminal for it. So whenever you address the mayor pro tem, she gets very defensive and snotty, but the bottom line is she's guilty.
Let's see what happens. I got information from the government, and I got the supervisor's employees' numbers and the information. They confirmed that these are not American citizens, and I forwarded the information to our local FBI office, and I filed, and you can do this online, everybody, look up the U.S. Attorney's complaint form. Each U.S. Attorney has a different complaint form. You can download it, you can fill it out, and send it to them if you have compelling evidence of somebody breaking a federal crime, which we know for a fact that she has.
And she's, you know, so, again, she's a graduate of the University of California, Irvine. You'd think she would be smart enough. But when you see her operate from the dais, you're like, one person said, she's an equation that doesn't add up. Okay?
Big
and
time.
She stepped in it really deep. And, you know, this is going to tarnish her. I don't know if she's thinking to go further on. And it was interesting Tuesday night, Josh, I don't know if you picked this up, when they took a break. She took a beeline to Deputy Barnes immediately, like a laser, and just gushing over him, shaking his hand, and all this sort of thing, because they contributed to her campaign, and she, in fact, just did by, with the new sheriff's contract, $500,000. She didn't bat an eye on it.
But you also saw her at the Katie Porter event, so
she's
trying to find any way up.
Right, yeah.
Networking.
She's using the city of Lake Forest as her stepping stone, and she's charming and this, that, and the other thing, but I'm telling you, she's an equation that doesn't add up.
And when people look up at our information online, she is not going anywhere. If anybody listens to the podcast and does their own research to see how shady. And her main problem is impulse control and emotional control.
Yeah. She has no executive function.
No, at all. That part of her brain has been fried.
Well, it's never developed. As being a special education teacher for many years, I've worked with numerous school psychologists, and each one of them, the assessments they've done, they explained to me and things like that. I'm not an expert, but I've seen this rodeo before, and this mayor pro tem has got executive function, what we call executive function deficits.
Right. So that's your city council, right? So we'll wrap up with this. And as we look around in this park that we're at, it's high net worth, even though the average is 100, but these people work 100,000. People work really hard. I'm looking behind here.
That's because, you know, in this day and age, you both the mom and the dad have to work, you know, and the kids, again, I'm in working education, you know, their school eight to three, 60% of our kids are staying after school and after school programs because mom is working. They don't get picked up until 6 o'clock in the afternoon. When I grew up back in the 60s, mom stayed home. Dad worked, mom stayed home, Betty Crocker making cakes and making the dinner and things like that. Look what we've done to our society. To keep ahead, just to keep your nose at the waterline, both spouses have to work. And even then, they've taken on contributed debt, significant debt. Their kids are, you know, having to stay at after school programs. It's just, I don't know. You know, the whole thing that I'm saying here as an activist, the quality of life in my community is being sacrificed by these residential developers coming in, overbuilding houses that impacts our schools, impacts our parks, impacts our libraries, impacts our streets because there's too many cars.
Right, in the Sheriff's Association. So I look back, there's a soccer game going on and the referee has uniforms on. That usually never happened in my neighborhood. Very, very nice neighborhood. And the problem, too, is that there's a lot of naivete here and a lot of believing in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And that's what seemed to happen with the applicants. Feel good about myself.
For the open council seat.
So, you know, to be honest, most people do nice things to other people because it makes them feel good. It made me feel good that when people ask me, should I apply for the vacant council seat in Lake Forest? And I'm like, no, you shouldn't apply for it because they're going to give it to the ex-cop.
Right.
You have absolutely no shot because
right.
It's rigged.
Right.
But it really pained me, and you can talk to this. The folks that came, civic-minded folks with good intentions,
right.
They dressed up.
Right. There's 12
They brought resumes.
Right.
They brought people to recommend them.
Yeah.
Letters of recommendation.
Right.
When it was rigged, they had no shot because Mike James, 28-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department, had already been ordained to have it. You have Barnes, who's
Chapney,
the sheriff.
Chapney.
He makes over $400,000 a year, $500,000 with benefits, in the audience with his wife, who would rather be shopping. But they sat there for 3 hours because they knew their friend, Mike James, it was rigged. He was going to get the spot. And these suburban people were lied to. They're naive.
Right.
And they were given false hope by the charade and by the play being done by the city staff and the disingenuous lying city council. They lied to their face thinking then they had a shot. They should get an Academy Award, right?
Josh, you're so right. There was 12 candidates, including myself, and you can discount me out. I knew I wasn't going to get it, you know, for obvious reasons. I've been coming to the dais for many years and to this current council pointing out the falsehood here. And there's a couple other more in there. But there was, I would say, eight genuine people that really were good and qualified. And I think six of those people have accounting backgrounds.
Right.
And they wanted to go in there. And all they said is, I want to make sure our community's in fiscal responsibility. Well, fast forward, guys, when they come out the next interim report, we're in deep doo-doo. Okay? And of course, they don't want any accounting people on this thing saying, what the heck is going on here? We're going off a cliff. And these people were qualified to do it. But no, they brushed them aside. And when the sheriff shows up at 6:30, full uniform for 3 hours, he's not there to see a dysfunctional city council that Josh, myself, and a few other candidates showed up. He was there to swear in Mike James. It's obvious.
Right, and we described to you who these people are.
They sat, Mike James's wife sat right next to Sheriff Barnes's wife. Come on, guys, you can't make this up any more than it is. And then they go up and vote, and what happens? Tedemer, Voights, and Robinson, they're number one, 1-1-1. Mike James, that's
you
who
guessed
they got.
It. You guessed it.
I mean, you can't make this up, folks. You cannot make this up. It's just incredible.
And I knew it. I came into the public comments. I mispronounce the people because these people aren't that important. I run my own business. I got all these things in my head. I mispronounced the name. I called it Robertson because actually Louise Robinson would have been a good choice.
She was she was the most qualified.
But I meant Mike James. You know, if you see the video, I meant Mike James.
You walk the neighborhood and you ask them about Miss Robinson. They all say, yeah, I know her. I know her. Good. Like, you ask them about Mike James? Mike who? Is he Rick James's brother?
Right, right. I hate to say it, but he really looks like another tool, like Mark Tenemer, empty suit. Right. He doesn't seem to be the brightest. Well, he's just a cop. That's all he is.
And so what's he do? He retires from the Orange County deputies. 28 years. God love him. He gets it. But you know what? He's probably pulling down an $80,000 a year
pension.
And now what he does, he works for, of course, you ready for it? He's a consultant to the Costa Mesa Police Department. So, you know, he's making money there. So now he wants to put a feather in his cap. Oh, I'm going to be on the city council. That'll help my ego. And there he is, folks. He's on the city council. And the guy.
And I'd like to ask the audience, what do you think he's going to vote for the budget for the next sheriff's contract that we told you earlier in the podcast is bankrupting South Orange County cities?
Right. When our
fake news. All right. This is part three. We're going to close. So, what's your thoughts, your final thoughts on this mess?
Well, you know, the whole reason that my being an activist is the quality of life is being impacted. And now with this out of control residential development, I mean, the school district says, look, we don't have any money to build a school. And yet they just approved 1,300 homes to be built. And these aren't single family condominiums. These are 3-4 bedroom, 3,000 square foot houses. These things are getting filled up with kids. So do the math and you're gonna have a lot of kids with no school to go to. But our city council, which should weigh everything, should say, wait a minute, we don't have schools for these. We're not building any more houses. But no, because Toll Brothers and Lennar and Shea Homes just brings the money in. They are just, and because they're all their kids are out of school, they don't have any more skin in the game, so to speak. Their kids are gone, they're empty nesters. They don't care about the upcoming families, what they're facing and things like that. Take the money and run. I get the back slaps. They like me in the Orange County supervisors, the sheriff's department, fire. That's who I listen to. I'm not listening to 80,000 people. Go to hell is basically what you're saying.
Right, and it's horrible what they're doing, so please do your own research so we can do change.
And connect the dots, folks. See if this is happening in your community.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? These council members know that people don't pay attention until, you know, the toothpicks,
it's
I call
it. Too late.
Until the toothpicks start going up and people say, you're building how many houses there? And they'll say, well, yeah, 2 years ago we approved it and nobody came. And it's happened time and time again. People finally realize, you're building that? And we have no schools and this and that. And they just shrugged their shoulders. Yeah, well, we did 2 years ago because you guys were asleep. You weren't paying attention.
Right, right. No, it's insane. So we'll close with that. And we'll close with Winston Churchill saying, we make a living from what we earn through labor. And we make a life from what we give. Thank you for listening to the I Love South Orange County podcast. All right, thank you. This is part two of the I Love South Orange County podcast. And where we left off, Andy, if you can describe the $1,500 donation to the NICI campaign from Lake Forest Resort.
Family Time Resort, LLC. So, you know,
and
Josh.
Collection.
Right. So, Josh, after the election, you can poll the candidates 460. And it so shows the people who contributed their campaign. And one on there was a $1,500 contribution from a Chinese person called Family Time Resorts and LLC. And they own a very sizable home in Baker Ranch, walking distance from Nikki's townhome. And we'll fast forward. I won't give you all the details. But this was purchased, quote, as a timeshare. And, folks, we all know how timeshares work. You know, you go out to Hawaii, you go up to the mountains, you stay there for a couple of weeks. So they structured this as a timeshare. Yeah, it's a timeshare, all right. It's a timeshare for the Chinese to come over here and birth their child to get U.S. citizenship and then go back to mainland. That's what it's about. And if you go to Chinese magazines, it's right there. It's advertised. So you got to find a friend, which we have. Just look, they said, look, right here. They're promoting, come over to California, birth your child, and return back. Beautiful home. And
you don't have to trust your friend. You can type in, and I encourage everybody listening to the podcast to do this. Type in Lake Forest Family Time Resort and Collection and use Google Translate to Mandarin. And what does it say? Oh, you can bring your kid. He'll be a U.S. citizen. He'll have all the rights that U.S. citizens have. Talks about a college right, Pell Grant.
Right. It's all there.
It's all there.
So that was a big one for $1,500. And then, Nikki.
Sheriff's Association is important to the right, ending too. Of our story.
And then I think here's another thing. It's kind of silly what she did. I think she thought, well, I'm going to be honest, report everything. She got $100 checks, probably six or seven of them, for all Chinese people. She put their names on them. You go in there, they don't have a U.S. passport. They're right. Not American citizens. So she's in violation of Title 52 of the Election Code, accepting campaign donations, even if it was $100. And that's what I said to her Tuesday night, and she called me a criminal for it. So whenever you address the mayor pro tem, she gets very defensive and snotty. But the bottom line is, she's guilty.
Let's see what happens. I got information from the government, and I got the supervisor's employees' numbers and the information. They confirmed that these are not American citizens, and I forwarded the information to our local FBI office, and I filed, and you can do this online, everybody, look up the U.S. Attorney's complaint form. Each U.S. Attorney has a different complaint form. You can download it, you can fill it out, and send it to them if you have compelling evidence of somebody breaking a federal crime, which we know for a fact that she has.
And she's, so, again, she's a graduate of the University of California, Irvine. You'd think she would be smart enough. But when you see her operate from the dais, you're like, one person said, she's an equation that doesn't add up. Okay?
Big
and
time.
She stepped in it really deep. And, this is going to tarnish her. I don't know if she's thinking to go further on. And it was interesting Tuesday night, Josh, I don't know if you picked this up, when they took a break. She took a beeline to Deputy Barnes immediately, like a laser, and just gushing over him, shaking his hand, and all this sort of thing, because they contributed to her campaign, and she, in fact, just did by, with the new sheriff's contract, $500,000. She didn't bat an eye on it.
And you also saw her at the Katie Porter event, so she's trying to find any way up.
Right, yeah.
Networking.
She's using the city of Lake Forest as her stepping stone, and she's charming and this, that, and the other thing, but I'm telling you, she's an equation that doesn't add up.
And when people look up at our information online, she is not going anywhere. If anybody listens to the podcast and does their own research to see how shady, and her main problem is impulse control and emotional control.
Yeah, she has no executive function.
No, at all. That part of her brain has been fried.
Well, it's never developed. As being a special education teacher for many years, I've worked with numerous school psychologists, and each one of them, the assessments they've done, they explained to me and things like that. I'm not an expert, but I've seen this rodeo before, and this mayor pro tem has got executive function, what we call executive function deficits.
Right. So that's your city council, right? So we'll wrap up with this. And as we look around in this park that we're at, it's high net worth, even though the average is 100, but these people work 100,000. People work really hard. I'm looking behind here.
That's because, in this day and age, you both the mom and the dad have to work. Okay. And the kids, again, I'm in working education. Their school, 8 to 3. 60% of our kids are staying after school and after school programs because mom is working. And they don't get picked up until 6 o'clock in the afternoon. When I grew up back in the 60s, mom stayed home. Dad worked, mom stayed home, Betty Crocker making cakes and making the dinner and things like that. Look what we've done to our society. To keep ahead, just to keep your nose at the waterline, both spouses have to work. And even then, they've taken on contributed debt, significant debt. Their kids are, having to stay at after school programs. It's just, I don't know. The whole thing that I'm saying here as an activist, the quality of life in my community is being sacrificed by these residential developers coming in, overbuilding houses that impacts our schools, impacts our parks, impacts our libraries, impacts our streets because there's too many cars.
Right, in the Sheriff's Association. So I look back, there's a soccer game going on, and the referee has uniforms on. That usually never happened in my neighborhood. Very, very nice neighborhood. And the problem, too, is that there's a lot of naivete here and a lot of believing in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. And that's what seemed to happen with the applicants. I feel good about myself.
For the open council seat.
So, you know, to be honest, most people do nice things to other people because it makes them feel good. It made me feel good that when people ask me, should I apply for the vacant council seat in Lake Forest? And I'm like, no, you shouldn't apply for it because they're going to give it to the ex-cop.
Right.
You have absolutely no shot because
right.
it's rigged.
Right.
But it really pained me, and you can talk to this. The folks that came, civic-minded folks
yeah.
with good intentions.
Right.
They dressed up.
Right, there's 12
They brought resumes.
Right.
They brought people to recommend
right.
them.
Yeah.
Letters of recommendation.
Right.
When
yeah,
it was rigged, they had no shot because Mike James, 28-year veteran of the Sheriff's Department, had already been ordained
right.
to have it. You have Barnes, who's
Deputy,
the sheriff.
Chapney.
He makes over $400,000 a year, $500,000 with benefits, in the audience with his wife, who would rather be shopping. But they sat there for 3 hours because they knew their friend, Mike James, it was rigged. He was going to get the spot. And these suburban people were lied to. They're naive.
Right.
And they were given false hope by the charade and by the play being done by the city staff and the disingenuous lying city council that lied to their face thinking then they had a shot. They should get an Academy Award, right?
Josh, you're so right. There was 12 candidates, including myself, and you can discount me out. I knew I wasn't going to get it, you know, for obvious reasons. I've been coming to the dais for many years and to this current council pointing out the falsehood here. But, and there's a couple of other more in there, but there was, I would say, eight genuine people that really were good and qualified. And I think six of those people have accounting backgrounds.
Right.
And they wanted to go in there, and all they said is, I want to make sure our community's in fiscal responsibility. Well, fast forward, guys, when they come out the next interim report, we're in deep doo-doo. Okay? And of course, I don't want any accounting people on this thing saying, what the heck is going on here? We're going off a cliff. And these people were qualified to do it. But no, they brushed them aside. And when the sheriff shows up at 6:30, full uniform for 3 hours, he's not there to see a dysfunctional city council that Josh, myself, and a few other candidates showed up. He was there to swear in Mike James. It's obvious.
Right, and we described to you who these people are.
They sat, Mike James's wife sat right next to Sheriff Barnes's wife. Come on, guys, you can't make this up any more than it is. And then they go up and vote, and what happens? Tedemer, Voights, and Robinson, they're number one, 1-1-1. Mike James, that's
you
who
guessed
they got.
It. You guessed it.
I mean, you can't make this up, folks. You cannot make this up. It's just incredible.
And I knew it. I came into the public comments that. I mispronounce the people because these people aren't that important. I run my own business. I got all these things in my head. I mispronounced the name. I called it Robertson because actually Louise Robinson would have been a good choice.
She was the most qualified.
But I meant Mike James. You know, if you see the video, I meant Mike James.
You walk the neighborhood and you ask them about Miss Robinson. They all say, yeah, I know her. I know her. Good luck. You ask them about Mike James. Mike who? Is he Rick James's brother?
Right. I mean, I hate to say it, but he really looks like another tool. Like Mark Tenemer, empty suit.
Right.
He doesn't seem to be the brightest. Well, he's just a cop. That's all he is.
And so what's he do? He retires from the Orange County Deputies. 28 years. God love him. He gets it. But you know what? He's probably pulling down an $80,000 a year
pension.
And now what he does, he works for, of course, you ready for it? He's a consultant to the Costa Mesa Police Department. So, you know, he's making money there. So now he wants to put a feather in his cap. Oh, I'm going to be on the city council. That'll help my ego. And there he is, folks. He's on the city council. And,
right,
and
right.
the guy.
And I would like to ask the audience, what do you think he's going to vote for the budget for the next sheriff's contract
right.
that we told you earlier in the podcast is bankrupting South Orange County cities?
Right. When our. Fake news.
All right, this is part three. We're going to close. So, closing, what's your thoughts, your final thoughts on this mess?
The whole reason that my being an activist is the quality of life is being impacted. And now with this out-of-control residential development, I mean, the school district says, look, we don't have any money to build a school. And yet they just approved 1,300 homes to be built. And these aren't single-family condominiums. These are 3-4-bedroom, 3,000-square-foot houses. These things are getting filled up with kids. So do the math, and you're going to have a lot of kids with no school to go to. But our city council, which should weigh everything, should say, wait a minute, we don't have schools for these. We're not building any more houses. But no, because Toll Brothers and Lennar and Shea Homes just brings the money in. They are just, and because they're all their kids are out of school. They don't have any more skin in the game, so to speak. Their kids are gone. They're empty nesters. They don't care about the upcoming families, what they're facing and things like that. Take the money and run. I get the back slaps. They like me in the Orange County supervisors, the sheriff's department, fire. That's who I listen to. I'm not listening to 80,000 people. Go to hell is basically what you're saying.
Right, and it's horrible what they're doing, so please do your own research so we can do change.
And connect the dots, folks. See if this is happening in your community. Because
absolutely.
You know what? These council members know that people don't pay attention until, you know, the toothpicks,
it's
I call
late.
It.
Too late.
Until the toothpicks start going up and people say, you're building how many houses there? And they'll say, well, yeah, 2 years ago we approved it and nobody came. And
right.
It's happened time and time again. People finally realize, you're building that? And we have no schools and this and that. And they just shrug their shoulders. Yeah, we did 2 years ago because you guys were asleep. You weren't paying attention.
Right, right. No, it's insane. So we'll close with that. And we'll close with Winston Churchill saying, we make a living from what we earn through labor. And we make a life from what we give. Thank you for listening to the I Love South Orange County podcast.